The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained here in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Today is the 26th of December, 2017. I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas, and I hope everything you got, dreamed about, you got, and some. And that's the good thing about Santa Claus. There's always hope in the air with big old Saint Nick, and I believe that still as a grown man, and it's a good thing. As I always say, stand up, take a deep breath through the nose, out through the mouth, and say, I am a winner, I am a champion. And we're going to get into this big time more in 18, but say that and keep saying that throughout the day before you go to bed. Say those two verses till you fall asleep at night. We're going to get into this more and more. Also, too, Frank Klein, who I talk about, who was a college professor of mine, probably one of my greatest teachers. Another thing I thought of the other day, I said it on yesterday's show, quitters never win and winners never quit. There's an awful lot to that. That's another thing we're going to get into. So, real exciting stuff. Also, too, go out to Fiorello Barbell Co. Winner's Circle is now called Winners and Champions, Inc. 14 modules now. I'm getting ready to do the 15th one, which is going to be the tri-quad dead start squat. Real exciting stuff. Going to have a little video for that, but that's going to be the 15th module, and we're going to keep growing. You want to change your life. You want to go into 18 and build yourself like never before. Buy the product. I've done that stuff for 15 years here, and I'll tell you what, I'll stand by that 100%, and I will help you get to your goal. But you got, as our good friend Steve Jack says, shoulder some responsibility. Also, too, motivationandmuscle.com. Go out. We got our pal Steve Cotter coming on momentarily. Go out and look at all the shows Steve and I have done. We've got over 860 shows in 3 years. I'm very, very proud of that. If you knew the whole story behind that, you would be in awe of it. And we're going to be telling a lot of stories next year, but they're going to be factual stories, okay? Also, too, sign up for the free newsletter right on the homepage. The page has changed. I thank Douglas Graham for that. He and I have been working diligently on both sites, and you'll see more and more stuff coming. Contributions. We need some money, folks, and I'm not going to be bashful about it because I see everybody else everywhere is looking for contributions. If this show has helped you, like all the notes I've been getting recently, as even yesterday, anything you contribute, we appreciate. There's a $25, a $50, and $100 button on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. If that's too much for you, go out to FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com through PayPal. Anything you'd like to give, cup of coffee for a week would be appreciated. But anything you can do, we thank you in advance. And I think for now, I'm probably forgetting something. Well, I want to tell everybody too, because I'm going to put this show up today. Go out and look at Gratitude for Attitude. Yesterday, three of the biggest people that have influenced me in my life. But as I told Steve before we came on, don't wait till something happens to somebody that's helped you out, no matter what it is. If you can go see him physically, go see him. If you call him, email him. Stay in their life, because chances are they sure as hell need you. And Anthony obviously is gone. We still have John, who I'm working with the middies, we call it, middies, power rack work, which is incredible. We're going to get into, and obviously Steve Jack, like myself and many others, mentor for stone lifting. Never would have started, never would have went to Iceland if it wasn't for Steve, so I thank them all. As I said, we got Steve Cotter coming in here. I'm going to give you a little information on this gentleman. Let me get this all pulled up. Number one, Steve is the founder and director of the IKFF, champion athlete, kettlebell trainer, martial arts trainer, and an expert in the human performance fields. And as you know, Steve and I, in my opinion, do some of the best shows, I'm sure, out in the business. We seem to run on a good frequency together, and you're going to see a lot more in 2018. So, Steve, I know that was long. Merry Christmas, obviously. You know, I wish you the best in 18. We'll do that at the end. But welcome back to the show, brother.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you and everybody.
Thank you. Anything I missed, lay it out there. If not, we're going to talk about a subject that could morph into anything, but we're going to talk about crippled America. So anything I missed, Steve, take it away.
No, man, that intro was great. Thank you.
You are welcome. Well, I'm going to lead off. Steve wanted me to lead off with this, and he knows pretty much where I'm going to a point with this, so that's what I like about when I do stuff with Steve. We could go anywhere the way we think. We're living, in my opinion, you know, I like to lay things out positively. You could say we are living in the best of times and the worst of times. A lot of confusion out there right now. I think right now America is still the greatest place for opportunity. You have the ability to do things that most people can't do. But it's also a place, and anything you want to do is you've got to deliver too. And we could get into a whole show on that. But before I get into the thing here with crippled America, where I feel a lot of it, we're on one knee right now. Some people said to me, the vultures are picking the bones of America right now. I won't go that far. But look, without getting very political, because I don't want to get into that stuff, but you can't ignore what's going on politically in this country. All right? And the thing is, everyone has a right to their beliefs. I have no problem with that. But I'll tell you what. When everything is based on politics, you see the quagmire we're in right now. You're hearing this, that, the other thing about this one, this one, this one. That in itself is bad enough. But the thing I feel which is even more dangerous to our existence, forget about all the political stuff, and it does have political connotations with what I'm going to say right now, is a lot of things that are going on not only in Hollywood, obviously politically, people in big business, everything where there's all this sexual abuse. Now, I'm not going to get into that too much because it steers me into a whole different path here. I don't know how many people thought of this because, you know, we always talk about what you think about most is going to come to you. And when you're talking about things of that nature, it's going to keep hitting you like a double-edged sword. You get one cut, then you're going to get a chop. I've talked to an ex-girlfriend, a few other girls, especially last night with Christmas dinner, and we kind of got talking a little bit about that. And nothing in a political way or anything. And one of the girls said to me, I wish this stuff would all drop. And I'm like, well, why? And they were like, and this has come from all three of them. You know, we date, some are married, but the thing that they are frightened of more than anything, and I said the same thing, is are we losing now our ability of the human touch, of the ability to say you look very nice today in a very sincere way? And as I said to Steve before we come on, they go to HR and you lose your job, okay, innocently. Now, it's not like that with either side, male or female, but they said the same thing they did. You know, what's going to happen? Is it like, are people now going to not even have the ability to, we're not going to go out anymore on dates, we're not going to hug anybody anymore, we're not going to be affectionate, we're not going to hold doors for either. And to me, this is the dangerous thing about America right now, why I call it crippled. It seems like so many things now are going on, but this is my main thing with crippled, and we're going to get into, I'm sure, more avenues with this. We're losing our humanity, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you realize that. I don't know if you're sucked into so many different things like right now, whether it's I hate Donald Trump, I hate Hillary Clinton, all this nonsense, okay? It's not, you're letting it affect your life. You have to live, but that's a whole nother piece that goes with this. It's your humanity. Are you going to lose now the ability via these people to be kind to one another, to be gentle to somebody you like or love? Are you going to even associate male, female anymore? Are you going to be afraid now to say to somebody, you look really nice, or I'd like to go out with you, and suddenly it's misconstrued while I'm being harassed? This is a very dangerous thing that we are up against right now. And to me, no matter what I do, I'm using me with the gym, with the stones, with everything. Humanity goes much further than male, female. Humanity is in everything you do. There's humanity in those stones. They vibrate. They're alive, right? There's humanity in that steel and those racks and that cold and every other thing I've been feeling for the last 3 weeks out there. That's all humanity. Just because you don't see it, that's the thing. Usually the things you don't see are the real things that are going around in you, all right? This to me affects me in a lot of ways, because it's like, I'm not going to lie to you. I love women. I love them. I mean, I love going out with them. It's like the stone, like Steve Jack says. You know, you learn the quirks. You learn this and that. And I love what he says at the end. And usually they both bring you a lot of pain. But it's good pain either way. Steve, take it away, because I could just rip roar all the way through. But tell me if you agree. Lay the mitt on the show here, as I say.
There's three thoughts that come to mind on this topic. One is complicity, which is compliance, which is basically the public just sort of going along and accepting what the popular media is putting out there.
Yep.
And accepting it as the new standard. So that's one issue, is having the strength to not necessarily comply with things that are not righteous. Another point is balance.
Yep.
In other words, there's a fine line in terms of what's appropriate, what isn't appropriate, and it's we're kind of moving into a new era as far as what is considered acceptable behavior. Like if we go back a few generations, a good example is this Jerry Richardson, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, now basically being strong-armed into selling his team.
Yep.
I don't know the guy, but I know people from that era, especially in the South, especially white Anglo-Saxon.
Yep.
They have certain mannerisms that they've been doing for probably 60, 70 years.
Yep.
So while I don't necessarily condone what's being reported as appropriate behavior, at the same time, I think it's a little unjust to take an 80-something-year-old man and kind of run him through the ringers. When probably a lot of the people were compliant with it in the first place.
Absolutely.
So now there's an opportunity. And the third thing, along with balance and complicity, is that I don't accept anything based on hearsay or based on reports. I just keep to myself.
I agree.
I generally don't even have opinions about things unless I have personal experience. So for me, it's not evidence that the news reports that this person said this or this person said that. My response is, I don't know. I wasn't there.
I agree. Totally.
There is such a thing as, there's different ways to assassinate people, but one of the most powerful ways is to assassinate their character.
Yep.
Via mass media, and you just put it out there, and it could be an outright lie.
Yep.
And people accept it as truth, and so it becomes a perceived reality, even if it's just based on, trying to undermine somebody for some reason. So it is a tumultuous time in our culture, and there's a lot of changes going on. I guess we could say we're in the kind of fast forward into this ultra political correct type of whitewashing of reality. And it started probably started in the 70s. The first public figure in my lifetime, I'm 48, in my lifetime that I'm aware of, the public figure that was first kind of, you know, politically correctness sort of forced them out was Jimmy the Greek.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
The old CBS. Yep. Basically for speaking the uncomfortable truth.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, he basically was saying that a lot of these NFL guys are descendants of the slaves.
Yep.
And you know, they were basically bred to be bigger, stronger, faster. And he got essentially squeezed out.
Yeah.
And actually, it's a truthful statement.
Yep.
You know?
Well, they assassinated him big time. And I'll get right back to you. And another thing, too. Now, it's like you're guilty before you're innocent of anything. And what I've seen with, well, I'm going to, see, I didn't want to get into this too much, but I'm going to say this, is, you know, it's pretty easy to go out and assassinate an old man who owns a team. Maybe the NFL wants to get him out of there. And if you look at things right now, and I'm going to go right back to you, because if I get into this, I'm going to start getting really pissed off. The NFL, whether you agree what's going on in there with the kneeling and all the other happy horse shit you hear all over, and I think Goodall is one of the most piss-poor leaders. I don't care about the other stuff. I'm talking as a leadership. He's a typical guy you read about, the pansy that, you know, when he knows it's going bad, people don't understand him or his views, or, you know, they're running roughshod, or they're archaic, or this and that. I got news for you. I'm not archaic at all. I don't agree with anything that guy says, and I try not to read any of it because, in my opinion, the NFL is dead, all right? If you look at what's going on, whether you agree with their views or not, I said before when we came on, I don't like getting into politics on the show because that's a great way to cut your throat permanently, all right? They did, and their viewership is hitting rock bottom lows like ever. Now, I read one thing, and I'm coming right to you, Steve, as I'm sure you've heard this. This is the excuse with everything, because whether they feel they're right, wrong, or in between, now they say, well, you know what? It's just not here in the United States anymore. You know, they don't say it, but you read between the lines, and it's like, well, basically, the male culture here is 200 years backwards, all right? So now they're like, well, the NFL now, we're going to go to Europe like they're doing more and more, and they've been doing for a long time. And that's where our new audience is going to be. You want me to tell you something flat out, folks? Good luck. And as I say, Papa John's, we'd be more than happy to have you come on here and be a sponsor. Take it away, brother.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to fly in Europe. They like football, not American football.
Yep, exactly.
And, yeah, so it's not part of the culture there. But, yeah, and sometimes things happen that are intended to happen, but maybe from non-intended ways. But, for example, what's happening with football, it could ultimately lead to the, you know, to the end of NFL.
Yeah, I could see that.
From lack of advertising dollars and things like this, but it's probably not the reason that it should, and probably the reason that it should is because of the actually trauma that it does to the people playing.
And sure.
So, you know, and Malcolm Gladwell said that if people were really aware of the, well, how many? It was 111. They recently did 111 post-mortem diagnosis of CTE. 111 ex-NFL players.
Yep.
They found CTE in basically 110 out of the 111 brains that they studied.
Absolutely.
So essentially it's almost 100% ratio of brain injury in the NFL. And, you know, so Malcolm Gladwell says that when people really become aware of the abuse that it does, the only logical extension of that is that it would have to be, you know, illegal.
Yeah, it's going to go by. Yeah, it's going to.
So, but that's not the reason why, you know, it's the reason is because some players are taking it or you know, not standing for the
right.
The national.
Right.
So they've turned it into a political thing.
Yep.
And these guys have a right to do that. They, first of all, the NFL's more than three quarters
black,
African American.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I'm African, and you know, they don't have a. It's a platform they have to expose something that is important to a lot of these guys, which is the execution of basically black Americans by corrupt law enforcement.
Yep.
You know, and some people might agree and some people don't. I'm sure some of the listeners are law enforcement or have, you know, family and you know, they're people too, and they deserve
absolutely
the same. But, yep. You know, in every industry and every job, there's corruption, and there's a lot of corruption in law enforcement because that's what happens with power. When people are given power that isn't earned,
yep,
it corrupts. And, you know, so these guys are expressing their views to speak out against that, and they're using the platform that they have. You know, they have that right, and it has nothing to do with the country or the flag or the military, and that's just BS to try to. It has everything to do with the stance on a social issue.
That's right.
And actually, prior to what was it, 2000? I don't remember the year. I think 2004, 2005. The players always stayed in the locker room during the national anthem.
But yep.
Basically, the Pentagon awarded a very large contract to the NFL to have the players come onto the field to create this image of more patriotism as a recruitment tool.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
People
yeah.
see the play. Before that, most of the fans would go out to the concession stand during the.
Definitely. Definitely.
You know, so.
But you.
I don't really care, actually. It doesn't matter to me.
Yep.
NFL or not, because. I got a life. I don't sit around.
Exactly. Yeah.
And watch people play games. I play my own game.
I'm with you. Well, I'll tell you this too. When you hit upon the Pentagon and all that with the money, that's another thing I think with all these big companies out there. I mean, they know how to make money. They don't need our money, and they sure as hell don't need the various states building them stadiums. All right. That stuff needs to all go bye-bye. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with investment, but you sure as hell don't make the taxpayer take it on the chin and give you the money to do stuff when you've got more than enough money. But that's a whole other thing. The thing is that I see, especially when we got into the humanity thing, which I think is so pertinent with a crippled America, my opinion is this. And this is what I can't wait to hear your comment. And I don't think I'm the one who veered things off. Can we live? All right, let me just frame this a little bit. I think you and I have talked about this, but this is very pertinent to this. This whole notion of, you know, we have this imaginary world, which I'm not talking about how we talk mentally. I'm talking about, you know, they create basically where you can be and do things and not have to have the human social touch, but yet you can have a girlfriend and not have to ask her out. It's all this baloney that they've come up with. And then there's a lot of these mechanical robot devices that are coming out that will do everything either species can do. But as I read by one woman that said, well, now I don't have to worry about getting along with him and I can still do whatever I want with him. And I'm saying to myself, that to me right there is the telltale sign that there is that, you know, when you see that warning light that says danger, danger, danger. I don't know about you, Steve. I mean, I pretty much can guess what you're going to answer here, but you and I being such physical beings, and obviously, you're married, you have family. I'm not married, but I date. I have tons of family. And I love that interaction. I love the ability when one of my nieces or nephews comes up and hugs you and says, I love you. I think we take that for granted, and we don't realize how important it is to us as species. We aren't virtual people. I don't care what they sell to you, what you're texting, what you're watching. We are not that. And this is where I feel we are right now. We're at the crippled America on one knee and all the stuff going on. And if we lose our humanity, in my opinion, we lose our life. Answer. You tell me right, wrong. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, predictive programming, they're putting this stuff. I remember seeing what is the Demolition Man, I think
yeah.
it was.
Yep.
You know, so predictive programming puts ideas out into the social consciousness via disguised as entertainment.
Yep.
So that people sort of accept it. When we view it as entertainment, we can accept these outlandish ideas. And,
yep.
Oh, it's just an interesting movie.
Yeah.
Maybe not giving thought that it sort of creates the idea, because whatever we focus on
yep.
intensely, we shape. Our mind is that powerful where consciousness actually attracts, you know, everything is energy. Everything is frequency,
yep.
vibrating energy.
Yep.
Even matter. So we understand through quantum physics, there's what we perceive as something solid. It appears solid and it feels solid, but actually, on a microscopic level, it's vibrating materials.
Yep.
It's vibrating atoms. You know, so the same thing works with the realities we experience. If we dwell on things, it becomes real when there's enough energy behind it. So this idea has already been in movies, and now it's entering into, you know, daily existence where people are starting to buy these robot, you know, sex
yep.
robots.
That's,
and all
yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
To me, it's a, you know, obviously a corruption.
Yep.
And it's based on sensory feedback, you know, and actually, I, for the most part, don't like to do anything that's just based on sensation. You know, there
yeah.
has to be an energy, you say, a humanity behind it.
Absolutely.
So if I, you know, if I need a robot to get off, then it's probably better that I don't get off at all.
You know? I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah.
And I like, you know, I like, you know, my wife is a real woman, so that's
yeah,
you
know, yeah.
The physical is really important, and yeah, it's pretty bizarre. I don't know what to say to it. I don't like it. I don't agree with it, but I'm definitely not going to order one of those on Amazon.
No. Well, let me say this to you. All right. I mean, obviously, you're a married man. You know, your wife's Italian, which, you know, my feeling about Italian women. But you made a really great point, the physical thing. Now, this is the things that we're hearing now that there's no way I could ever contend with any of that. Whether you're married or not, you got a girlfriend, but there's some reason, because you just can't hold together to the physical, it won't last. We all know that. We've all dated people, and it was hot and heavy, but then when you went to the next layer, it just wasn't there. But when you meet somebody that you're with, whether you're married or you're really serious about, the physical appearance and everything is very important, because it all works in conjunction with everything. I mean, let's face it, the eyes see what is in front of you, at least to a point. And when you're with somebody or you're attracted to somebody, it's a physical thing initially. And then obviously you talk, and if you strike something good up, you go out with one another. And then you go from there. But the thing is, with what they want to do now, it's like, they don't want you to look at anybody. They don't want you to say, hey, would you like to go out there? And the thing is, we lose that, and we lose ourselves. I've said on shows, I think I've even said with Steve, I can't tell you how many restaurants I've been for dinner, whether it's with my buddies or with girls or whatever. I'll be next to a couple, and they got their goddamn phones out on the table, and I don't know if they're texting to each other or to somebody else. You want me to tell you something? That would be the day I'd have my phone out with a lady. And if she had her phone out and was typing on it, I would excuse myself and walk the hell out. Okay? Because if that isn't the biggest form of disrespect, there's many others that go with it. But let's face it, when you're out with somebody, Steve's out with his wife, who is the most important thing to you at that point? Well, whomever you're with. It's not about you. You might talk to one another about each other, but when I've always believed when you got a beautiful woman out with you, that's who you're with. That's who you're talking about. That's who you're talking to. And you're not, it's fine. You see people, you know, you introduce, hello, hello. But when she's with you and you're with her, you got tunnel vision, basically. Go ahead, man. Take it. Go ahead.
Yeah, automatons, basically.
Yep, it's yep.
Creating a species of automatons where there's this, like, blurred lines, right?
Yeah.
There's no distinction between male, female, masculine, feminine. It's just
yeah,
one world type of...
Neutered. Totally.
You know, and I can't speak for others. And actually, as far as the sexuality, like if somebody is, let's say, homosexual,
yeah,
that doesn't make them less deserving of love. They're still humans, and they right. still deserve, you know, to be respected and treated with decency. Personally, I, you know, that's not something that I see as a healthy, but, it's not really, it matters what I think. It only matters what I think about myself and how
yeah.
I treat people.
Yep.
You know, so if somebody happens to be gay and
yep.
they have a lot of feminine, that's cool. I don't necessarily want to adapt to that.
Right.
But I'm not judging it or think that person's lesser. However, I will say that with the people that I generally hang with and most of the guys I interact with,
yeah.
You know, someone like yourself, someone like myself, we resonate with a certain level of masculinity.
Yep.
We're not 100% masculine. Like, you know, there's a yin and yang. So,
yep.
so you know, all of us have feminine and masculine within us.
Sure.
You know, I like sort of the Taoist idea of the yin and yang, which is sort of just a reference, you know, so something like ego, you know, that would be a masculine component. Something like vulnerability, that would be a feminine component. So,
yep. Yep.
you know, in previous eras, men were not allowed to show vulnerability. Men were not allowed to show any type, even... You go back a few generations, even a man that paid too much attention to his appearance
yep.
was considered a feminine trait.
Yep.
You know, because women need to be beautiful, men need to be strong. This
mm-hmm.
is sort of the, you know, and so I think ultimately, you know, this could be a balancing out what's going on. I think it's crazy, but
yeah.
in some unintended way, you know, to play devil's advocate, it's not okay for, you know, a guy, especially in a position of leverage, like an owner, like
sure.
a boss.
Sure.
It's not okay to use that position to essentially leave a lot of innuendos and or even outright harassments that actually makes a woman uncomfortable.
Yep.
So I agree with that. You know, if someone is taking advantage of their position to essentially, because they know, hey, this woman works for me, so she's gonna take my advances because she has no choice.
Exactly.
That's a corruption of power and abuse of power. So in that sense, somebody should be called out, and they have to kind of reconcile that. You know, so in the long run, maybe when this, you know, when the dust settles, maybe there'll be a greater awareness to
yep.
where
yep.
men will start to understand that we're not the superior gender, or we're not necessarily stronger. We have, you know, stronger muscles and denser bones, but that doesn't mean that we're more important or more powerful. So it's a, you know, kind of moving away from that patriarchal type of society where might equals right. But at the same time, in fairness, the women that I've known and you know, the type of woman that I am attracted to,
yeah.
They value this masculinity.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yep. On a man that, you know, sometimes, I want to get too much into the personal stuff, but, you know, there needs to be a balance.
Without a doubt.
Like, a man does need to be a man. It doesn't mean he needs to be abusive, but at the same time, if we take that away, now what do we have? There's no difference between a man and a woman.
Exactly. So, well, I think they've wanted to do that for a long time. I mean, if you go to, there was a sign on Whole Foods one day, which I hate that place, but it's only got one thing I need. There is a thing that you no longer call man, woman, anything. They wanted everything gender neutral. And I'm saying to myself, I must be walking into a nut cage for sure. But I'll tell you this, and I'll give it to you, and I know we're getting near time. I'm going to tell you this, Steve. And you hit it before, you know, with like the re-education through the media and all that, and people are so asleep at the wheel, half of them don't even know what's coming at them. But I'm going to tell everybody this, and I've said this on numerous shows. You think there's fallout now with men? This is what they don't get yet. There's going to be fallout with women, too, like you've never seen before, because there's already, I believe, a couple female senators that have resigned. All right? This isn't stopping with the guys, girls. Now we're going to start hearing the other way, too, because it happens in both sexes. But I'm going to tell you all this. I am extremely proud to be a male. I think that a lot of males have got their head kicked in for the last 50 years, and we've talked about this on shows. There's so much male identity now that they don't even know who the hell they are anymore. And you've got kids coming up, young boys. They don't know what it's about. The fathers are so confused. But that's another show. But I want to reiterate this. I'm very proud to be a male. I mean, when I'm around my nieces and stuff, they're right by you. They watch you. They want to be around you. You know, I want to demonstrate to them that they know what I do. They know how I am, all right? But on the other hand, they know that I'm a very loving, affectionate uncle to them, because I've had people say to me, geez, I didn't know you were like that. I was like, well, what do you think I am, just a hardened piece of steel? Yeah, I am. But they're my blood. They're my family. And I will fawn over them and guard them for the rest of my life. Okay?
Yes.
It's the same way.
That's masculine.
That's masculinity. And you
that's
know,
important.
It's very important. And, you know, when they go out in the world, I mean, I can't shield them from everything. And I don't, they need to make their mistakes along the way. But I want to know one thing, whether you agree with this or not, folks. Who you're, and Danny too. The masculinity, the men that they're around are going to hopefully allow them to make the good choices out there with their own men and women, okay? If you think that's a joke, it's not a joke. As I know a lot of girls from good families that I don't know where it went awry, but they made a lot of bad choices. And you can't blame your parents for everything. You get older, you make your own. But we do everything we can, and not in a conscious way where they even probably recognize it, saying it to them. But I want those girls to know that their uncles and their father were examples of, I hope, what they'll find down the road and make good choices. So, crippled America, can it come back? Yeah, because I believe with guys like Steve and I and everybody else on here, we'll win. The robots aren't going to win, okay? The virtual girlfriend isn't going to win. And the guys and the girls that believe in that, live like that, you're going to be the ones that are going to perish. It's not going to be us, because we believe in that type of strength. Look at the stuff we do here. The way we give ourselves to everyone with what we believe. You don't have to agree with all that, but I want people to be strong, man. I want people to have heart, generosity, solutions, love. That's what strength is about. But the big strength comes when you're using implements, when you're out in that cold weight room, when you're out blowing those kettlebells out all over the place. When you're out lifting the stones and the sandbags, you don't understand. That's what makes everything a reality to what we're talking about, at least in my opinion. Steve, summarize anything. Give out all your information. I wish we had another hour at least. I got a lot on my mind now, and we'll get ready for our next show, but take it away and then just hang on so I can sign off, please.
I would say always we have to be true to who we are. I think there's always lessons in what's happening in social, you want to say the news cycle or what people are talking about.
Sure.
There's lessons to be learned, and we can focus on the negative, and we can also see the other side of it that, you know, there needs to probably be a balancing out. There needs to be a little bit more awareness on the side of men and you know, and I've been guilty of this in my lifetime as a younger man, you know, in terms of never a sexual harasser or something.
Right.
You know, basically, you know, maybe being a little bit too free and easy with the innuendos and this type of thing. You know, so we'd have to learn to become more mature, more respectful, more, I guess, reverential and appreciative of the feminine and of the woman.
Yep.
You know, be more courteous, more considerate, not be an asshole, not use your position to, you know, gain power over others. So there definitely is a balancing out there, but I think that also we have to be careful not to, be too quick to judge.
Yep.
Something that we don't know.
Yep.
You know, Hollywood, that's its own thing. Hollywood is corrupted. You know,
sure.
They got the fish, they got Harvey Weinstein, and then from there, once you get a big fish, then, you know, all the little pawns kind of fall, and then you have all these other guys starting to fall down.
Yep.
You know, now you opened up the can of worms. But, you know, but Hollywood's been corrupted, you know, since the beginning.
Yes.
So there's all kinds of crazy perversions and stuff there, and, you know, that's going to sort itself out. Politics, same thing, man. These guys are interested in power, so there's a lot of corruption at the high levels of politics as well. But you know, in terms of all of us and regular people that are just living our life and making a better life for ourselves, we can learn from these. It's like, I guess it's a warning when these big fishes get taken down.
Yep.
You know, that they think maybe, oh man, I'm too big. You know, too big to fail.
Right.
That's kind of a lesson to the littler guys out there that, hey, you know, like, but don't become sterile at the same time. Like, if you're a man, be a man, but just balance it, be strong, but be respectful at the same time. And I think that if we maintain this balance, you know, everything's going to sort itself out well. And, say no to sex robots.
Yeah, for sure. What else you got, brother?
Well, I think we're wrapping up this call, so.
Okay. Do you want to give out your website or anything before I wrap it up?
It's IKFF.com, and then my YouTube channel is youtube.com/IKFF channel. And then folks can always follow me on Instagram, Steve Cotter, IKFF.
Okay.
So that's the best way to get a hold of me.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Obviously, you're all winners and champions. Remember that. No matter what happens, no matter what we talked about today with a crippled America, you always have the ability to make a better life for yourself. Don't get caught up that you're basically crippled. You can't move. You can't do anything because this is what's going on. That's what people want you to do. They want you to follow the leader. As my dad always said, be a leader, not a follower. Step out of the circle and don't be afraid. Also, too, if there's a particular show you'd like Steve and I to do, Fiorella Barbell at NICAP.R.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we got, and I thank everybody for that. In your car, you can get us through. How does that go? I'm trying to think of the word. I can't think of the word now. The AHA. Aha. Go out there and register. You can get us in your car 24/7. M&M. Great way to start and the day in between. Also, if someone seeks you in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give 5 words of inspiration. That's what it all comes down to. Inspire yourself and inspire others. You're not going to get caught in these little traps they're snaring everybody in. It could be a temporary thing, but it isn't going to last. So think about that. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, pull it, press it, If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red Domination, we clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Well, you'll see more and more of that in 2018. Frank Klein, my greatest business college professor, repetition, repetition, repetition. Remember that. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. My good, like a father figure to me, John Ridge, my greatest chiropractor, would walk everybody to the door and say, keep smiling. Say that. I'm telling you, it works. Also, to be a steward of strength, don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming, because we're not going to kick your door in. We'll blow the roof right off your house. Join the family. Join the revolution. It's that important. Also, too, I was talking about Anthony DiTillo. Go out and look for the book, The Development of Muscular Bulk and Power. Also, you want to get a hell of a read, Lombardi, What It Takes to Be Number One by Vince Lombardi Jr. Excellent stuff to start 2018 off with, and we're going to have a hell of a lot of fire and brimstone here, let me tell you. Steve, it's always an honor. Obviously, I won't talk to you after the new year, but obviously to you and your family, a happy new year, and I hope you have the biggest year of your life coming up. So thank you for being on, my friend.
Thank you, brother. Always a pleasure.
Same here, man. You can't go wrong with the two of us. So, for Steve Cotter, this is Eric Fiorello. Like I said, this show will be up today. And I'm telling everybody, Happy New Year, and think about 2018. But more than anything, like we talked about today, go out and make your own way. No matter how many hits you got to take, I'm telling you right now, from sitting here with loads of scars and bangs and bumps, it's all worth it, everybody. Have a great week, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.